from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
There and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning we're confused between the ASA and the BSA, to be honest. Cork or screw? You be the judge. We'll mark the week. That's what we do on Fridays. And what the hell is bulletproof coffee? But before any of that, what the hell is our government going to look like?
Whatever support I've shown towards Winston Peters these past couple of weeks, I now withdraw. For the record, I have been worried about the future government after a decision. I see little of any good coming out of having New Zealand First entrenched in a coalition arrangement for either Labour or National. But I have been broadly upbeat about the talks and how they've been handled, to the extent that rightly or wrongly, Peters outlined dates and timelines, and up until yesterday he was sticking with them. I have not liked the way he's been treated or the way he's behaved, though. Both English and Ardern have been sappy little lapdogs who have been completely outpsyched by a better negotiator, and that's without even knowing what he's demanded. They have kowtowed and forgotten they actually hold most of the cards, not some showboater with 7% support. But, and this is where I'm now over it, the decision was not Thursday. It was never going to be Thursday. It's not Friday now. Not today. Might be Saturday, probably not. So when is it, eh? When is it? And what's significant about that is it wouldn't be an issue if he hadn't handed out the dates, but he did. And with those dates went his credibility and reputation. That's now blown, and yet again reminds us of the childish, attention-seeking nonsense we saw back in the 90s, and those who were around to witness prayed would not be repeated. Well, more fools us, eh? But then there's nonsense over the New Zealand First Board. He's not telling us who they are, because they deserve privacy. Really? Are you serious, people? Who will decide who runs the country? We aren't allowed to know who they are. And in that is the seed of why I don't trust the guy, don't like his attitude, don't like his style, don't like his outlook, don't like his performance, or indeed hold out any hope for a long-term stable government arrangement. And that ultimately is my greatest disappointment. For 18 years, three terms of Labour, three terms of National, we have had solid, stable, predictable government. You might not have liked all the policy, but we knew where we were at. And there were few of any games. There was none of this whack-a-mole nonsense, second-guessing who says what and what it all means. It was professional, it was adult, and we've all benefited because of it. Now this second-rate circus that is part and parcel of the Winston Peters way of doing business. If these past couple of weeks, and especially these past couple of days, is an example of what we're in for, God help us all. We have had, and still deserve, a hell of a lot better.
If I was Jacinda Ardern or Bill English, the next time I'm being interviewed by Mike Hosking anywhere, I might just raise that whole being described as a sappy little lapdog. Because I don't think he meant it as a term of affection. Also, when he bitched and moaned about the Advertising Standards Authority the other day, did he mean the BSA instead? This has all got a bit confusing as well.
Now, Heather Roy, who's the former ACT MP, nowadays is chairman, as it turns out, of the Advertising Standards Authority, takes me to task in the Herald, and she is right in one sense. I did allude to the fact that the Advertising Standards Authority might be funded by the taxpayer, in which I was wrong, so I'm sorry about that. I joined the two together. The Broadcasting Standards Authority is, of course, funded by the taxpayer, and so I assume the two were, and I should have checked, and that's my fault. Where it sort of goes wrong for poor old Heather is she seems aggrieved and aggravated by it all and seems a little bit angsty, a little bit tense. And she says a couple of things. The only part of Hosking's rant about the ASA that was correct was this. And she quotes me, "These sort of bodies are no longer needed due to the fact that the market largely takes care of itself." She says, exactly right. So having agreed with me and having agreed that they no longer need an Advertising Standards Authority, she then goes on to defend their work, which would seem pointless given she's just agreed they don't need to be in existence anymore. Hosking claims that in the past months no decisions were made. In this he is being disingenuous. No, I'm not. Because in September no decisions were made. That's a statement of fact. There's nothing disingenuous about a fact. In September no decisions were made. She argues by going to say this, in the year to date... The year to date, I didn't talk about the year, I talked about September. In the year to date, 308 decisions have been made. 52% went on to the Complaints Board for determination, of those 65% were in breach of the code. So in other words, it's 65% of 52%. In other words, basically, they're inventing work for themselves.
So, I mean, he said he was apologising. It didn't really sound particularly apologetic, that apology, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Now, the study being done to try and figure out whether wine tastes better out of a corked bottle or a screw cap bottle. Here's the guy who did the study.
Would you argue that the wine does taste better to us, or we just think it tastes better to us?
So I think I'm not sure there's a difference there. In that, I think, you know, the pleasures of the table, the pleasures of the glass, all reside in our mind. That is where the sight, the smells, the sounds, the feel, the taste, the texture all come together. And as such, I really don't know what the real wine taste is. It's kind of all a construction of our mind.
Yeah.
As such, I think it is in our mind, but that doesn't make it any less real. It really does taste different to us.
Exactly right. Good on you, Charles. I'm glad you got there in the end with the big study. And as a cork lover myself, it is the appropriate and only right conclusion to be drawn. So cork, it is 113-13. So that wasn't even close. And that would it would also explain a couple of things. One, the success of champagne. There is nothing more celebratory than the sound of a cork of a champagne. And also, presumably, the surroundings and the circumstances in which you drink it. Wine will often taste different in the surroundings and circumstances, depending on what they are.
This study is the exact opposite of what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like an objective blind taste test, you know, conducted by professional wine experts who would once and for all tell us whether wine tastes better from a cork bottle or a screw cap bottle, without knowing which bottle the wine had come from. But instead, they're convinced that, obviously, there's a general, I mean, it's obvious. People think that corked wine tastes better. Well, not if it's corked. I mean, you know, if it's from a corked bottle. You know what I mean. I don't know why I'm so angry about it. Let's mark the week and I'll calm down.
The Coalition talks this week too.
10 days or 9 days or 8 days or 9 days or 10 days or 10 days or 10 days or 10 days.
Earlier this week, I was moderately hopeful and I even defended Peters and his timelines, but he's blown it. You set a date, stick with it, or your credibility's shot. And as for the board being secret, they deserve privacy. Give me a break. Bill English, Jacinda Ardern, 3.
Oh, kia ora.
We're just two talking heads.
They have let the show pony dictate terms. They have been outpsyched, outplayed. They have failed the fundamental leadership test. They've got the votes. He doesn't. Taranaki, 9. Best place to live and work. It's official. Wages have kept up with house prices and you earn $100 a week more than the rest of us. And you got the Ranfurly Shield. GST grab this week. 4. From Western Australia to Auckland to the regional mayors hanging out on Winston's promise of tourism GST. This is separatist and it's selfish and it's inward looking and it ignores the wider good. We are too small a country to think that fiefdoms are a future. Catalonia. 3.
Olé.
The aforementioned explanation applies. Scotland. 3. The aforementioned explanation applies. Dove. 7. No, not the greatest idea ever in a PC world. But the reaction was an overreaction, because overreacting is what we do these days. Plastic bag 7. Ironically, plastic bags aren't the great environmental issue many think they are. They're a far bigger fish to fry, but it's symbolic, and sometimes that leads to other symbolic moves, which leads to a genuine change in behaviour. Banning junk food ads, 6. They got a good score for the cameras and the originality in that experiment, but it's the same old call, and the same old call is not the answer. Do you know what the answer is? Self-responsibility is the answer. Oz Post, 8. Pay equity, solved. The gap is 0. So there is an answer, and it's living at Oz Post. Brexit and a no deal, 9. Best possible outcome. Thinking you could talk your way out of that was always delusional. 2017 being the best year ever, 10. Plenty of stats to prove it, but the best is the percentage of people living in poverty. It's gone, globally this is, it's gone from 35% to 9. Why, oh why, oh why, oh why, oh why, oh why, as the story points out, aren't those sort of numbers dominating our headlines as opposed to the daily diet of woe and misery? And that's our week copies on the website, and this, by the way, is now part of the IRD's job interview process. If you laugh and give it a thumbs up, you're hired.
Now, if you think that I'm sounding a bit frazzled around the edges, it's because we're coming to the end of week 2 of the school holidays, and that means there have been people in my house during the day, which I don't like, and it affects my ability to get as much sleep as I require. But maybe this could help.
A little health tip for you. This is the trend you're going to be seeing coming your way. You'll hear it first on the program. Bulletproof coffee. What you got here, it's taking the US by storm at the moment. It's a multi-million dollar industry. What you do is you blend a knob of butter and a large glug of special oil. That's the trick. No one knows what the special oil is because the bloke who invented it isn't telling. It's very like KFC. And with black coffee. And so he started this business, and it leads, and here's the trick to it all, it leads to dramatic weight loss, increased mental clarity and energy. And the guy called Dave Asprey is behind it. He was in Tibet, as you are, drinking a traditional yak butter tea. And he suddenly thought, hold on here, there's something in this. Anyway, this drink contains up to 500 calories, 51 grams of fat, of which 70% saturated. But what it does is it boosts your metabolism. The oil forces the body into a fat-burning mode, and it melts away the muffin top. So if you're sitting there with a muffin top this morning, bulletproof coffee, remember where you heard it first.
So it's got 51 grams of fat, and it melts your muffin top off.
It's and that's the beauty of it. It's butter and coffee in a special oil, and you know, that's the magic of it. So your muffin top, gone.
And I also, I'd be into some mental clarity. I don't think I've ever experienced
that. I believe that to be the case.
I wonder what it would taste like with a healthy dollop of bourbon in there as well. Just wondering. I am Glenn ZB, dreaming about how my weekend could turn out, but probably won't. That was the rewrap. We'll see you back here again on Monday for more. hopefully, depending on what I have to drink. See you then.